Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi. When we are in that dark pit of grief after child loss, we are in a very vulnerable place, making us an easy target for the enemy to get a foothold. It might be through things we were taught about God that make us angry at him. It could be through our desperate need for peace, causing us to go down a path we would not have gone down before. Well, today's guest dealt with both of these things, and I look forward to letting you in on our conversation. But first, let me give a full, proper introduction here. Joycelyn is a Christian faith-based, holistic registered nurse, wellness and grief coach, pastor, and writer who empowers others to live whole in the kingdom of God. In 2017, Joycelyn experienced the suicide loss of her oldest son, a tragedy so traumatic it changed her life forever. As she shut down emotionally and spiritually, God allowed her to run with her anger and pain until he said the running was over. Joycelyn is a collaborating author for From Frustrated to Fulfilled, Brave Women Connect, and a book launching in July of 2024 called Threads of Purple. Joycelyn blends her medical expertise with a holistic approach to mental and emotional well-being centered on her Christian faith. She believes in the power of resilience, the strength found in community and shared experiences, and the profound comfort of faith. Her goal is to create a compassionate space where others will find solace, support, and practical strategies to navigate their grief journey of traumatic child loss. All right, so here is the conversation I had with Joycelyn. Hello, everyone. I am here today with someone who is a new friend, and her name is Joycelyn Harrell, and I'm sure you're going to be hearing a lot more from her just our chatting before we started recording. It was like, I just have to hit record because we're just having such good conversations. So welcome, Joycelyn.
Oh, thank you so much, Laura. I feel so honored to be here. You were there for me actually when my loss very first occurred. And then I kind of went down a hard path that everybody will know about. And I just kind of got away from what you were doing. But I honor the work that you do. And I feel very honored to just be here with you today.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I just, when you said that, I just remember, didn't you say that you got the coloring book, the My Grief Journey?
I do. I have that. Actually, I do an affiliate marketing blog, actually. And I have a book section, and that my things that helped me during especially the early years are going to be, I'm going to be talking about and have those up there and show people where they can get them.
Oh, so, nice. Well, thank you. All right. Well, let's start out by letting everyone hear your story and tell us about Brandon and what happened. How did you become one of us?
Well, just to a little background, we lost our 36-year-old son on January 17th, 2017, to a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Our youngest son found him. They worked together, and our youngest son found him in his home. And he wasn't, as far as we can tell, he wasn't planning to do this. He was getting ready for work the next day, had been washing his clothes, things like that. He was in a much better place. So just to tell you where he had been, he had been in the military twice, and the Army, National Guard. And the first time he was in, he got called to Iraq, and he was a military police over the General Dan Hickman, who was the general over there that year that they were in Iraq. And so he was, you know, he was his bodyguard, one of his bodyguards. And they went into palaces. They went in all kinds of things. They also got, had a IED blow up 6 feet from them. I saw that report. That bomb blast went straight up in the air. Had it gone out to the side, it would have killed everybody there instantly, but it went up, but it did cause some problems with his hearing and, you know, some inside stuff, you know. So he came home and he got out of his little stint there in the military, and he just was restless. He decided to go back in, and he reenlisted, and he got actually called to Iraq a second time. And this time he was trained. He was a sergeant, and he had a group of men under him at this time. And when he, before he got sent back to Iraq, they pulled him and sent him home, told him that he had PTSD and post-traumatic stress disorder and traumatic brain injury from the bomb blast. And so he was on medically discharged, put on disability, things like that. Well, I don't know if you guys have a lot of dealings with veterans or people who have been in the war, but the movie Band of Brothers really describes that group really well. Well, the reason they sent my son home was because he told the doctor, I don't know, psychiatrist or whoever there, when he was getting ready to go back to Iraq, he told them that he had pressed his dress clothes because he was going to die while he was over there. And they thought he was crazy and they sent him home. However, I did not feel like he was going to come back either. That's, I felt like the Lord, I felt like that's why I had such a hard time letting him go that time, because I felt like when he left, that was going to be the last time I saw him. So the Lord was telling him, because a bomb went off by a, what do you call those? The suicide bombers went into their camp, and five of his men were killed. And he ended up with survivor guilt. He should have been with them. One of the guys actually was, everybody involved was pretty much from this area where we live. And it was just a mess. And so I'm here having to comfort him, and he's feeling bad anyway, because he wasn't over there with his men. So, but he lived this for several years. I mean, all the time he started drinking. He just got really kind of in bad shape. And the VA, bless the VA. Yeah. They loaded him up with a lot of medications that he didn't even have a diagnosis for. They were given label, and I can attest to that because I am a registered nurse for a very long time, and I had done a lot of study on these meds. And the VA website at that time said that there are no known drugs to help with PTSD or traumatic brain injury. They were giving him meds for schizophrenia, for bipolar, Neurontin, just they were giving him all kinds of stuff. And he didn't have any of those diagnoses. And I tried really hard to work with him. I said, honey, let's do something different. Let's do some of the things that suggested the cognitive behavioral therapy, the EMDR, the rapid eye movement kind of thing.
Yeah, more natural type things.
Yeah, see, but they didn't offer any of that to him. So he didn't get that kind of help. He just was on drugs all the time. But and then he got on illegal drugs. And we went through that period of time. So this is about a period of about 10 years, actually, from the time he was discharged to he really got very low. However, the Lord really delivered him from that. He did go through a program, got on some Suboxone, got off heroin, got off all that kind of stuff. He, as far as I knew, was good with the Lord. My husband and I are pastors. He was in our church. He played on the worship team. He loved, his comments to that was he just felt like he was so close to God when he was worshiping and playing the guitar, you know. So anyway, he lived with us. There had been a few suicide attempts through the years, and he was living with us during the really bad time, and it was very bad. But he was just, I believe he was delivered from those kind of things. He was able to move out on his own. He had his kids every weekend. He was doing great. He just seemed like a different person. He was in a relationship with a girl that I still consider, I consider her my daughter in love. They didn't marry. I believe they were going to. They would have. We're still very, very close with her. And so for about a year and a half, We thought he was better. We thought things were better. I don't know what happened the night that he self-inflicted a gunshot wound. I don't really believe that he had all this knowing about him, because the VA had him on 4 medications with suicidal ideation. He was having nightmares again about his time in Iraq. And so they had changed up 2 of his medications and we didn't know about it. And one of them was Neurontin, and he didn't have any reason to be on Neurontin. But anyway, that's beside the point. When he took these, he took them all about 8 o'clock at night. He'd go to bed. He would wake up in the middle of the night and do things like put maple syrup and pancake mix together. And he would not remember that the next day. Right. So this happened, and the only reason we know what time it happened was because somebody in the neighborhood heard a gunshot at 3 in the morning. So I know in my heart, if he got up confused and stuff, he never remembered what he did the next day. So I think he was probably in that kind of capacity. So it doesn't make it, I don't know, somehow, I don't know, in my mind, somehow, maybe. I need to think it wasn't on purpose.
Right.
For whatever reason. That's the story I tell myself. Whether it's true or not, it helps me. But anyway, our son found him about 9 o'clock that morning. I was at work that day, and our boss didn't allow us to have our phones with us. I mean, I was a nurse, you know, she was just weird that way. And my son, when he found him, called me.
Sure.
Which probably I didn't answer the phone because I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was probably a good thing, because had I answered that, I would have flipped out right then, and I would have gone and gotten in my car, and who knows, I could have caused an accident. You know, I would have been, I was hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
So how I found out, my boss came and told me that my husband was here to see me. And so she took me to our like little conference room where we ate lunch and stuff like that. I thought he'd come to get me out for lunch. And so when I looked at him, I kind of smiled at him, and I saw he didn't have a smile on his face. And I immediately knew it was one of my kids. I said, who is it? Which kid is it? And he said, Brandon. And he told me, and the screams that came out of my, I don't know where that came from. I don't know. All of you that have lost someone like this, you know that scream.
It's almost like somebody else is screaming, but it's coming from you.
It was a slow motion, but I made noises that had never come out of my body. The first week was pretty rough. I didn't eat or sleep for 3 days. And I mean, nothing, not even water. And I don't know if anyone else had this experience, but I've looked it up since. Trauma causes, if deep trauma can cause such a toxic load on your body that it affects your cells. And it was like, I felt like every cell in my body for days had pinpricks in them. And I felt like I was on fire or something. It was just something I'd never experienced before, but it was very traumatic. And I went to the third morning, I went to my friend who's a massage therapist. I said, you've got to help me because I'm in really bad shape. While I was laying there, I just was laying there getting ready for the massage, and she had some really nice music on, and I heard him say, I'm here, mama. And that brought me a little bit of peace for a time, for just a little bit of time. I did get a hold of some medication to help with my nerves. I did not take it the morning of the funeral because I wanted to have my faculties. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to be present for everything. So I wanted to feel it. And that's I think that's one thing a lot of people make mistakes. Maybe they do take so much stuff that they don't feel anything. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I just knew as a nurse, that's just going to prolong.
Right. I
need to feel. Mm-hmm. If you're not allowing it to happen, you're not feeling it, you're going to feel it at some point.
I know you've talked about it was later that you just felt a lot of anger towards God. It wasn't right at first, if I remember.
It wasn't. I was even writing posts on Facebook sharing, oh, you know, my faith is strong, but, you know, this has not bothered me. You know, my faith
you
is
think that was out of numbness?
Yes,
yeah,
I do.
Yeah.
Well, and then I have to be real honest. I won't mention the names, but there is a very well-known pastor and his wife, very large church in the west side of the United States, whose son died by a gun. And I thought, since my husband and I were pastors, I'm like, I need to find out how did they handle this? So I did. I emailed her and she wrote me back, and she sent me some links to some videos of them coming back to church. They had taken a 4-month sabbatical. And, you know, she showed me some other things because she was doing a little bit of work on suicide and that kind of thing. So anyway, I watched their video of when they came back 4 months later, and they got up and just said, talked about different stages of grief, which I'm not going to debunk. They're not quite what they are.
Oh yeah. No, no, no. You talk about
Kubler Ross.
Oh no. Yeah. I talk about that. It's like, that is her thing, was people who are terminal and going to die.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with grieving.
I mean, what do you have to bargain with when what you want's already gone?
Exactly.
You have no bargaining power.
Right. It's no,
you know,
it's
so,
all,
yeah,
all
so
the I, there's no stages.
So there's no stages.
Uh-huh.
And so they're talking, but they're talking about these stages of grief. And when they said 4 months that they had come back and they had come to acceptance, well, I was only like, you're talking, I was like 4 or 5 weeks into this. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow I get in my mind this magic number, four
oh,
months.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. 4 months, I'm going to be back to good.
Mm-hmm.
4 months came and went, and I was not good. And that's when I started becoming angry, because I became angry with the person that said 4 months is, you know,
right,
we're accepting. And
yeah.
I thought, okay, well, okay, let's back this truck up a little bit. I went back to work after 2 weeks. I didn't get to I didn't get to have
right.
what, 4 months worth of intense counseling and rest and all that kind of stuff.
Not many people do, yeah.
I don't know if it's unrealistic to think. So I just don't know. So that's kind of when I started going downhill just a little bit. And when the enemy started planting the voices in my head of some past teachings in church, you need to be careful where you know, your information, because
yes,
what we've been taught isn't always right.
Right, yes.
And
mm-hmm.
I had been taught when I was a child, learned that people that take their life go to hell.
Yeah.
Like that's a sin that you cannot get forgiven for because you're dead.
Right. You can't. Yeah. You can't repent.
And, okay. So that one started haunting me.
Right.
In heaven. He professed to be. I know when he was baptized. One thing gave me a little bit of peace at the time. And I know that there's going to be a lot of mixed denominations of people listening to this, but we are spirit-filled believers.
Mm-hmm.
And he had told his girlfriend that he spoke in tongues on a regular basis when he prayed.
Mm-hmm.
That was comforting,
mm-hmm.
but still there was something in me that I just couldn't, you know, I just could not get the peace, you know, over that situation. And so that started that. And then the other thing where I really turned, I think, on God was another false teaching.
Mm.
I'll name it Bill Gothard.
Mm.
IBLP people taught this, and they weren't the first. There were others, this umbrella of protection kind
yes,
of thing.
Yes.
Even the pastor that had been in the church before we took it over, he died. His teaching wasn't right, because he would say that, you know, as long as you're in right standing under the umbrella protection of God,
mm-hmm.
anyone in that umbrella of protection that you are over, no harm can come to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this belief that
right.
we had, I don't know, how was I 50 some years old and had a belief that my family was going to be safe just because we
right.
were following God.
Almost like Satan, you can't get me. Na 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 na. And yeah, that's not what Jesus said.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, well,
Yeah.
of course, later. So that's really on God. That's really when I turned, because I was listening to you. We were doing everything. What did we do wrong? Did I not pray enough? Was I not living enough? Was I, then you go back through everything you've ever done in your life involving him. If you spanked him, or you disciplined and you feel bad, you're just guilt-ridden. Maybe I was too harsh. Maybe, everything that goes through everybody's mind, probably. So that was probably 4 to 6 months after he passed that I started really getting upset. And it was very hard to go to church anyway because he played on the praise team. And I'd look up there and there he was. So I was hit or miss for the first year or two anyway. And our church people were so gracious and so praying for me. They're awesome. So I don't know. That started that downward spiral. And then probably in July, but I said, God, you need to let me know he's okay. I need to know he's okay. Did he do it? Did he mean to do this? Did he? I need answers. And there's not a lot of answers when this kind of thing happens, unless they leave a note and he didn't. So I'm begging God at this time, let me see him in a dream. You come to me in a dream. I don't care how it happens. I need peace. And it wasn't happening. And so that just kind of fueled the fire a little more, that I was a little more mad because you know how much I need peace and you're ignoring me. And I just didn't feel him, so I was angry. So in October of 2017, which was 10 months later, some girl is messaging me on Facebook. And I don't know that she was friends with Brandon on Facebook, but she was in a PTSD military group that he was in. So she's messaging me. She said, I need to talk to you. She kept bugging me. And I finally said, she said, I need to talk to you about your son. I said, well, my son's dead. She said, no, I need to talk to you about Brandon because he has a message for you. And I'm like, what? I didn't know where this was headed. So I called her and she turns out to be some kind of medium or whatever. And she's telling me that Brandon had come to visit her and was telling me all these things. I took down a list of 17 things she told me that nobody else would know. And so I asked my questions. I'm like, Lord, first of all, Lord, I know that you don't believe in this kind of stuff. This is not right, what I'm listening to. But for some reason, a little bit of it gave me peace. But that's as far as I went. I talked to my husband about it and my son and my daughter. And I was just on the fence about it because I'm like, how does someone find out 17 things that that no one would know? She said, you have a green blanket in your room. I said, I don't have a green blanket in my room. Well, 2 days later, I look up and I had put it up on one of our bedroom windows to darken the window. So, I mean, it was a green blanket. It was. And so she knew stuff. And I've never been involved in any of this kind of stuff because I'm definitely anti seeking that kind of help. And I never did go to seek that kind of help. But I remained, my angry state, and I'm just trying to heal and do whatever I can to get better. And I'm into herbs and aromatherapy, and a lot of that Christians think is woo-woo stuff anyway. So, what I did do during that time, and I'll pull all this back together in just a minute, but I went to an herbal conference because I'm a Christian herbalist, but during that time, I have to say that I went down some holes, some dark holes that I'm not proud of. And this is one reason I want to bring information out, because when you're so raw in your grief and you're wanting answers, you will search for answers, and those answers are going to come, and they may not come from God, is what I want to say.
Right. We're very vulnerable. Yes.
Very vulnerable, and you're wanting more closure, or you're wanting some peace. And there were certain things that I didn't, certain lines that I didn't cross, because I'm like, I was still a Christian, even though I was a mad Christian. I was I was still a believer, and I know there's things that I'm not going to cross over into, but I still feel like I got a little too close, and probably had some literature in my house from people I should not have on, herbal medicine and things like that.
Can we take a pause here real quick? I'll
Yeah.
let you finish, but I just want, those who are listening to think about this. If this is because you had mentioned a lot of Christians think, herbalism and aromatherapy and all that is all this woo-woo, new age stuff. And yet the enemy can't create anything.
No,
The enemy cannot
right.
create anything. God creates
Right.
everything. Now, the enemy can take something God made and
Yes.
misuse it, can skew it, can
Yes.
turn it into something that can become evil or dark,
Right.
but he can't create anything. And so, why wouldn't God put everything we need naturally on this earth that our bodies need for healing and for,
And he
for
has.
health? And, so I think a lot of times we think of that as new age stuff. We need to stay away from that. And yet, like I said, the enemy can't create anything.
Right.
And so it's just, I think sometimes the enemy just got a hold of that in a way that Christians are afraid of it.
Yes.
We're afraid of something God created that's good
Right.
for us, but you're getting into what's the source.
Where was the source of this? And while I knew I felt like the source was not God, I was still in that vulnerable place where I did open myself up to be around these kind of people. And I began to gather things. Like I even went to a healing touch, became a healing touch practitioner through a Christian organization. And I'm going to be honest, the women that was in my group, they were all into crystals and all kinds of stuff. And they said they were Christian. And I felt a little weird about that, even being in that group. Now that I look back, I don't even like the training I got as a healing touch professional. And because I felt like there was some things that crossed over into some things that I don't think we should be messing with.
Kind of open doors.
It opened, see,
Doors.
I started opening a lot of doors.
Right.
And I will tell you, if you open yourself up to those doors, things are going to come in.
And
And
it might initially come in as peace.
yes, it may initially come in as peace, but you have to always ask, where is the source of this? So, about a year and a half later, I heard from that girl again. She wanted to talk to me. I said, okay. Well, she's talking now about wanting to come down and smudge my house and do all this kind of stuff. And I said, I'm done with this. I actually made it where she cannot find me. I blocked her phone number. I blocked, this was the person that told me all these things that said my son was with her and was telling her what to say to
And
me.
yeah, and let's put a pause here too. I just want to interject something here too. That's something that is very, very convincing. How could she
Yes.
possibly know that if it wasn't my child telling her this? And
Yes.
what I see, my belief and what I see happening is that we are surrounded by a spirit realm.
Yes,
We are
we are.
surrounded by spiritual beings. And any spiritual being can be in your house
Yes.
seeing what's around you, or any
Yes.
spirit being could have been with Brandon in childhood or
Yeah.
whatever and be feeding somebody information.
Yeah.
And we think it's our child. We're being convinced it's our child when it's
Yeah.
not. It's another spiritual entity feeding information. Now, I'm not saying these people are evil. They're doing it from a good heart
No.
and they're
She
able to
did. Yeah.
tap into the
She
spirit realm, but
believed.
I think it's a misused gift.
It is. And it is. And if she were a true believer, she would probably have a very strong prophetic voice.
Yes.
But the things that were coming out of her mouth, I knew it wasn't God deep down because she was cussing every other breath. It was terrible language. It was the weirdest experience, but she got a hold of me again and I blocked her because she said, I don't chart. I normally get paid for this kind of thing. And I'm like, And she wanted to come down and smudge my house. And I'm like, girl, you're not getting 2 feet within my house. So, you know what? I have anointed my home with the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's all the anointing my house needs.
Yes.
And so I thought I was done with her, but believe it or not, couple months ago, she got a hold of some guy that she talked into getting in touch with me on Facebook and said, hey, you know, is Brandon your son? Are you his mom? Blah, 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 blah. I've got somebody I'd really like to speak with you. And I'm like, what is this about? And he told me her name. And I said, I am not into this. And I said, no way, shape or form. I'm not going to be talking with her anymore. And I blocked him too. So, I mean, just, it's been 7 years since he died. So this just happened a few months ago. So that spirit is still trying to open, trying. And I'm like, I'm not doing that.
Now, but I'm going to one more time here. I'm going to jump in here. So I know a lot of parents that I talk to, it's like, I want to hear from my child. I want to have dreams from my child. How come I'm not seeing my child? Because other people, they do. Maybe they can sense this, their child's presence. I think that, you know, I'm not going to argue with that. I've written blogs about it. I've talked about that. You know, there's spiritual backing, okay, that spiritual beings can be around us.
Right.
Beings. But what I just wanted to mention, I think we're looking for peace coming from our child who has crossed over.
Right.
Instead, we can get our peace from God himself, who is connected to our child. It is spirit to spirit. So we are still connected to our child, but we need to look for our peace from God. You know, you were talking about Brandon dying by suicide by his own hand and being told, well, then he's in hell. I mean, that's the bottom line, is what people, you know, misguided teaching is. Instead, we can go to God and he can bring people to bring his truth to us in even in that moment of crossing over, even if they weren't saved that we know about, we don't have all the information. We don't know where they are. We don't know where they are. And we can either choose to live in fear and torment, or we can choose to believe in faith that at some point, even if it was that split second, as you know, the breath was leaving their body, God came to them and Jesus reached out and said, are you coming with me now? Do you believe now? And they said, yes. And so to have to get our peace from our child can open up these kinds of doors, you know, bring us even into more darkness than where we already are, or leave us there for a longer period of time. So I just want to encourage people, which is, I know what you're saying, but I just want to make it really clear that, you know, seek God for your peace and let him give you the signs or the things that he knows are going to bring you the peace that you're longing for. And it could take a while because we are in such a dark place.
Yes, it took quite a long time for that peace to come. And I'll share in a minute how that happened. But so my path down the wrong way, even though, I mean, I was still going to church and doing the thing, but still inside, I was not in a good place with God. And tried to avoid a lot of those kind of things. But I will tell you that it took several years, 3 years and something later, I felt like I wanted to sign up for an online women's Christian conference. And I did. And honestly, you know, when the Lord tells us, when you draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. That was my first experience of saying, God, I believe I need you.
Mm-hmm. Kind of, I give up, I surrender. I can't do this.
I can't. I told him, I said, I'm so mad at you. I can't stand you. I feel like you allowed this to happen. And I'm like, my prayer had been, I can't forgive you on my own. I can't do this. Mm-hmm. And I didn't need to forgive him anyway. He didn't do anything. But I said, I feel like I can't get right with you because I just can't. There's something, I cannot do this on my own. I can't. The anger, the bitterness I have over to the VA, everybody, I can't do this on my own. And so I just stayed there. But I think earlier that week, I signed up for that conference. And the Friday night before it started, I was sitting in my recliner, watching TV, minding my own business. And I believe God walked in my living room and he looked at me. I heard him. I just knew he was there.
Right.
And he said, I am flipping the switch on your anger and bitterness, and it's gone, and you're not going to deal with this anymore. Done. And I was a changed person from that night on. And I felt like I couldn't in my own flesh surrender. I just couldn't. And it was God. That's just to tell us we don't do anything in our flesh. It was God. It was just a miracle, really. And I began to go to some conferences, and the Lord just kept confirming that healing through the speakers and the leaders that I was hearing. And it was unbelievable, the difference in my spirit. And I felt free and forgiven. And I know God forgave me the very moment I started getting upset with him.
Or even before that. He forgave you when Jesus was hanging on the cross. I mean, forgiveness.
He knows what we're going to do.
Yeah.
He pulled that to my charge, and he knew I was going to come back.
Yes.
And it was great. And that a few 6 months later, I think, is when I started the Kingdom Wellness broadcast on Dominion TV. And that was about a year. And I had a life coach because I decided that I wanted to live. I don't know how many of you out there listening, you lose your, you know, you stay in the dark pit so long that it feels like home and comfort, and you don't want to come out of it, you know? But I felt like God gave me a choice and
it's
said,
almost like the light is too bright because you've been down there so long.
Yeah, that's true. And I feel like he gave me a choice. You can either keep like this, or you can start working to live. And I did decide that I wanted to live. I definitely decided I wanted to live. But still, I had those doubt, like I had doubted still. I mean, I didn't know, where's my son? I want to know where my son is, you know. I didn't get those dreams and visitations like a lot of those people do say that they have had. And I think that's awesome if God allows that to happen, but it just didn't with me. And I just couldn't understand why. But we talked a few minutes ago when we were not recording about closure. And I mentioned that this past December of 2023, I got closure with my son's death. And, you know, having closure is very hard when you lose a child. You know, murder, suicide, terminal illness, whatever. It is hard. What happened was I retired November 1st.
Now, can we, before you tell this, can we, because you, that's one thing you and I talked about was the meaning of closure. Because you and I talked about before we recorded, you know, when you say you got closure, and a lot of parents are sitting there thinking, how do you possibly get closure? There's no closure on the death of your child. And so when you use the word closure, you're meaning kind of like getting unstuck and being able to start moving forward out of that pit of darkness.
Getting closure to my questions, to my getting closure.
Or needing answer. Closure to needing answers. Is that
closure
it?
Closure to needing answers. Yes, that is exactly what happened. And you guys are probably all going to cry when I tell you what happened, because it was, I will probably cry when I tell you what happened.
And we're going to wrap it up with the story. You and I have so much to talk about. So we'll wrap up this episode with the story, and I'll let you tell people how to get a hold of you if they're interested, and we'll definitely have you back on. I don't know if it'll be right away or not, but tell us the story and then we'll wrap it up.
So I retired November 1st of 2024, which is really important because I'd had that date set for a little bit. And my mother, my 92-year-old mother in Ohio, I live in North Carolina, she was having a lot of pain in her chest, and she went to the hospital the weekend before I retired. They did an x-ray, and she had a really, really large mass on her left lung, covering up part of her lower breathing tubes and lower left lung. And anyway, I said, well, what I have to do? The day after I retired, I drove to Ohio and started taking care of my mom. So things just went downhill real quick with that. So long story short, my mom ended up in a hospital bed 2 weeks before she passed on December 20th. So on the 18th of December, she had been kind of non-responsive for a few days, hadn't eaten anything. And I walked into her room late that night. I walked in the room and her eyes were open and they were looking at me. I said, Mom, "You're awake." I went over and hugged her and loved on her a little bit. And she looked, she hadn't turned her head either. She turned her head and looked at me and she said, "Brandon." I said, "Mom, is Brandon waiting for you in heaven? Have you seen him? Have you talked to him?" And she shook her head, "Yes." And then she went on to say, "Everybody, I've seen everybody." Her sisters, she said, "I've seen everyone." And she named people. And I heard her so clear. And that was the last conversation anybody ever had with her. So I felt like God gave me a gift through my mother. And I really needed that. And it was great. But one lesson I got out of that is that it was in God's time. It wasn't my time.
Yes.
So I know a lot of you out there are probably still waiting for things. Your peace can come, but it's not always our timing. So since I wrote the chapter for Threads of Purple, I took my wellness coaching and I'm in a grief coaching program. And have decided that helping people on their grief journey is where I'm going to focus on at least one part of my ministry or coaching business toward parents who have lost kids to traumatic things like murder, suicide, car accidents.
That's the loss you can relate to.
That is the kind of loss I relate to,
Right.
even an adult loss, maybe with a cancer diagnosis. I mean, still you've lost your adult child, but faith-based people who have lost their adult children, basically, and most of it by, traumatic means. So
Yeah.
that's what I'm doing. Plus, then my other side is I'm still an herbalist and aromatherapist, and I teach that too. That's kind of my fun business that I do. That's what that's kind of like my passion. I feel like the grief thing is more ministry, if that makes sense. I had a couple of websites I had started. I have my main one at joycelynharrell.com. It was overwhelming to create those kind of websites. So I actually did my website onto my Joycelyn Harrell. So the Living Whole with Grief is forwarded to my joycelynharrell.com
Okay, so
site.
what exactly is that email address? Is it just a.
Joycelyn at joycelynharrell.com.
Okay, and I will put a link to that in the show notes so people can get a hold of you or find out more about you. Like I said, we're going to have Joycelyn back and we're going to talk about some more stuff that I have a list here of things that we didn't get to, but I know that what we talked about was what God wanted us to talk about today. So, being a pastor's wife or a pastor, I know I can hit you on the spot with this, Joycelyn. Would you please pray us out?
Yes, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to gather with Laura and her listeners. And I pray, Father, that if there's someone out there that is struggling, even with their faith, over the loss of their child or another loved one, it doesn't have to be the loss of your child, but if you're struggling, I'm going to ask, please, that you guide them and you give them peace. But Father, it's in your time. And Father, I pray that you'll just comfort them in a way that no one else can comfort them, because you are the great comforter. And so we're going to thank you and give you glory for the peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Joycelyn. I look forward to having you back. And this was really good. So thank you for just sharing just raw and real
It was
loss.
raw.
Yeah. All right.
That was pretty loaded and deep at times, wasn't it? After our recorded conversation, Joycelyn said that she realized she didn't share with us the fact that when she realized she had opened doors to even more darkness, she gathered everything she had collected that was connected to spiritual content that was not God-based or science-based, and she got rid of all of it. Nothing that was said today was meant to judge or to make light of anyone's situation or decisions. I know we're all on our own journey, both in our grief and in our relationship with God. It's very personal. My prayer is that the talk you just heard shed some needed light on your path giving you some hope and a bit of guidance that maybe you've been looking for. I realized some of you might be thinking that you're just going to wait until we have another GPS Hope and Healing retreat instead of coming to the Weekend of Hope here in Wisconsin. But the thing is, honestly, hosting the retreats around the nation, it might be a season that has come to a close. And this may be the last chance to have a weekend with Dave and I ministering to those who join us. So with that being said, I know there are some of you with things like family reunions and you're not able to come, but if you have still been thinking about it, I want to give out the information one last time here on the podcast, especially since I wasn't doing this for a month to be able to remind you. Now, I have been talking about it for months, and when this comes out, we're just over 2 weeks away. So I know it would be a quick decision on your part, but there is still time. It's the first weekend in August, and it includes three meals, with the last meal being Saturday night, which is a celebration of GPS Hope's 10th anniversary. If you want to check it out, go to gpshope.org/weekendofhope for all the details and to register for what just might be the last chance to have a weekend of ministry with GPS Hope. And I will also put a link to that in the show notes. I also want to say, at the very beginning of our conversation today, we mentioned the book, My Grief Journey, that Joycelyn had got and is going to offer to the people she's connected with. Now, this is a book with 42 words that have to do with our grief journey, such as overwhelmed, alone, longing, memories, rest, purpose, heaven. So each word has my personal thought about that word, along with an appropriate scripture. Now, each word is also surrounded by a drawing that you can color if you want, along with a prompt so you can write your own personal thoughts about that word if you would like to. Now, there is also a kid's version of this book. Since this is National Bereaved Parents Month, we're going to discount this book to only $5, the My Grief Journey book, not the kids one, the adult one. And this book is used by support groups, and it's great for that because you can read about the word and then you can talk about that word as a group, especially using that journaling prompt as kind of a springboard for a discussion in your group. And at this price of only $5, if you are part of a group, you could pick up a book for each one of you in your group right now. So to find out more about the book, you can go to gpshope.org/books, or you can go to gpshope.org, click on the store tab, and go to the books that way. You can see both of the books there, the My Grief Journey and the My Grief Journey for Kids, and I will also put a link to that in the show notes. So let's go ahead with today's birthday segment. Madeline Youngdahl was born on July 16th and is forever 14. Jack Crean was born on July 16th and is forever 18. Jimmy LaPlante was born on July 19th and is forever 39. Paul Ortiz Jr. was born on July 19th and is forever 26. As always, we celebrate with these families the day these children came into the world. It will always be a special and important day. If you would like to have your child's birthday announced the week of his or her birthday, I would love to be able to do that for you. Just go to gpshope.org/birthdays, fill out that form with the information we need, including the pronunciation of your child's name. If sometimes it's mispronounced because I want to say it correctly for you, just submit that information and we will add your child to the birthday segment the week of his or her birthday. As we wrap things up today, I thought I would pull something from the My Grief Journey book, and this is part of what I wrote for the word forgive. I believe forgiveness is one of the first steps to getting out of this pit. When it comes to the death of our child, including the circumstances around it and the domino effects it may cause, we can discover we don't have what it takes within ourselves to forgive. But God already knows that, and He has made a way for us to be able to forgive in His strength, a strength far beyond our own. That sounds familiar to what Joycelyn experienced, doesn't it? Remember, it is in His way and His timing. And I know that can be hard, especially when it doesn't make any sense to us at all on this side of things. But if you keep asking and seeking and knocking, God will come through for you. It may be all at once, like the switch that was flipped for Joycelyn, or it could be so gradual you don't even realize it's happening. Either way, I am encouraging you to have hope, H-O-P-E. Hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.